Today's Shir is Masechta Pesachim Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tesam Beis. The Gemara begins to discuss where we learned in our Mishnah that somebody had left Yerushalayim and he realized that he had in his possession still Basur Kodesh. And the question that came up was, does he have to go back to Yerushalayim to burn it? Or could he burn it where he was? So there was a discussion in our Mishnah, how much meat does he have for which he would have to go back to Yerushalayim? Ramei said that the shear, both by the meat and by the chametz, is a kebaya. Rabbi Yehuda said the shear, both by the kachim and by the chametz, is a kezayis. And the chacham held that by kachim the shear is a kezayis, but by chametz the shear is a kebaya. Ask the Gemara, lememra. So based on what we are learning now, it's obvious the Rameyer sover. Rameyer is of the opinion that kebaya hu dechashiv, and that's why you would only have to go back by the chametz that we discussed extensively in our previous year, or by the kachim if you were holding a kebaya. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is kezayis tami chashiv. And that's why you would go back for kezayis. Ask the Gemara of Rimini, the Mishnah teaches us the Masechta Brachos, the Mem Hei Amar Aleph, where we're speaking about Hakama Hei Mezabnim. What is the shear for when people sitting together have to say Zimun, they have to bench together and may not separate. And Tosfos there explains that although our Gemara quotes the Mishnah that speaks about Zimun, whatever is the shear for which you would have to do Zimun is the same shear for which you would have to bench. So it's essentially asking for how much food have you eaten, bread, that you have to bench. So Meir's opinion is ad kezayis, Rabbi Yehuda oimer ad kebaya. And we have a rule, you know, it doesn't say explicitly Rameya there, but we have a rule throughout Shas, that Stam Mishnah is Rameyer. So Rameyer over there says that the shear is kezayis. Here he said the shear is a kebaya. And Rabbi Yehuda, just the opposite. Answers the Gemara, what we must do is, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mechlefes Hashita. And Rameyer is going to hold that you only do Zimun by a kebaya. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to hold that you do it by a kezayis, as our Mishnah taught us. Abaye Amar. Abai says, there's no reason to reverse the opinions. Hossam, there, Bekroi Pligi. The Machloikas in Masechta Brachos between Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda is based on a pasuk. It says by Berchus HaMazon, V'chalt v'svot v'rachtus Hashem l'kecho ha'oras ha'toiva ashen nosan loch. And Hocha, here, regarding going back, if you found chametz, or if you found kachim, Besvara pligi. There's a machloikus based on svara, and the Gemara explains itself. Hasa b'krad pligi. There, by Berchus HaMazon, it's based on psukim. Ramei sava. The pasuk says, as we just read, v'chalta v'savata v'chalta zuachila v'savata. He explains means shtia, that if you ate and drank, you're mechuyev in Berchus HaMazon. V'chalta v'achila b'kezayis. And we know throughout halacha, the shear achila is always the shear of a kezayis. That means, according to Rameya, one is not obligated to say Birchus HaMazon midaraisa unless he ate and drank. And therefore, there are a number of halachas to be learned from here. If we're going to have a group of people who ate together, And now they're going to do Zimun. The halach is that Zimun, the person who's leading the Zimun, if there's one individual amongst this group who ate and drank, and the other individuals who are in this group only ate but didn't drink, so we should ask the person who ate and drank, who's mechuyev in Birchus HaMazon b'deraisa, to lead the Zimun. Chazanish says another halacha. The Chazanish says that the halacha would be that if somebody ate and didn't drink and he said Brichas Hamazon, and that therefore the Chiyuv of Brichas Hamazon was only a Chiyuv the Rabbanon, and then after eating and saying Brichas Hamazon, he drank. So now, and it was within the 72 minutes of the meal, so now he has a new Chiyuv Brichas Hamazon. He has a Chiyuv Brichas Hamazon Daraisa. And the Brichas Hamazon that he said previously was only a Brichas Hamazon Rabbanon because he had not drank. And therefore he would have to bench again, says the Chazon Ish. Rabbi Yehuda Sava, Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, explains the Pasuk, V'chalta v'savata, achila shiyesh b'sviya. One must only say Brichas Hamazon b'daraisa if he ate to a degree where he is satiated. And how much is that? Ve'zezu, and what does that depend on? A kebeya. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda over there says you only have to bench with the rice by kebeya, and Rabbi Meir says by kezayis, and says the Gemara Hocha. Whereas our Mishnah, which is discussing somebody who has to go back, b'svara pligi, they're arguing based on a svara. The Rabbi Meir says a chazrosa ketumasai. The Rabbi Meir says when do you have to go back to Yerushalayim if you're carrying kachim that are tamei, if you're carrying a much food that are makabel tumah. And as we've learned previously, although there is a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, if food, how much food can be tamei, and Rashi's opinion is that even food less than a kebeya can be tamei, but everybody agrees that food less than a kebeya cannot transmit tuma. Tosfos holds that not only can food less than a kebeya not transmit tuma, but Tosfos' opinion is that food less than a kebeya can't even become tummy. But certainly by it comes to tumma, the shear is kebeya. So therefore, av chazrosoi, therefore the going back will be the shear of a kebeya. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds chazrosoi ki suroi. When we speak about shurim, we speak about a shear achila. And the shear achila of anything one may not eat is a kebeya. My sur be kebeya, av chazrosoi. So that's the basis of their machlokes in our Mishnah. Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson was even more lenient, and he said, Zev Zeh, both the shear by chametz and the shear by kachim is kishtei beyim, and says the Gemara, however, the chum did not agree to that opinion. Says the Gemara, the pasuk in Zechariah discusses the days of Mashiach. And the Pasuk says, V'yayi b'yayimahu, we know when Mashiach comes, there's going to be Mechemes Goig Magog. And the Pasuk says, it will be on the day where Goig comes to attack Yerushalayim. The Pasuk says, Lo Yia or Yukaris V'kifon. There won't be any more light, and Kifon means cold. It says, Ma Yukaris V'kifon. What is meant that this pasuk, Amar Ablazazah, or Shiyokub Olam Hazah, light, which is so valuable in this world, the Kofui Olam Haba, it will be nothing in the next world. In this world, light is valuable. The light that will be in the next world will be much less. So the Mabit explains the Gemara somewhat differently. The Mabit explains that the Gemara is speaking about people. And he's saying people who are Tamid Chachamim and great in this world, but they could have been greater. They didn't reach the potential. They will be the people who will not be considered so significant in the next world. People who reach their potential in this world, they will be the people who will be great in the next world. So the Chasam Sofer tries to explain what does this have to do with the Gemara that we're learning today about going back to Yerushalayim with Kachim, etc. So he explains, because we've learned in our Mishnah that once you passed Tzoifim, you don't have to go back. So he says, our Gemara is going to teach us that Yerushalayim is going to be expanded. So since the Gemara is about to teach us that Yerushalayim is going to be expanded, explains the Chasam Sofer, that's why we learn the Shiurim of Yerushalayim. Rashi explains that was Pshat or Shiyokub Olam Hazeh for Kofi Olam Haba. that in this world, the light that we have, the sunlight that we have, will not be so significant in the next world. He said, but the Aruch has a different explanation. The Aruch says that the Or is referring to Torah. As we know, Kinem Mitzvah v'Torah Or. He says, in this world, we don't have so many great Talmid Chachamim, so many great Tzaddikim. In the world to come, there will be, Baruch Hashem, so many more Talmid Chachamim and Tzaddikim. Rabbi Yochanan has a different explanation. He explains the Pasuk that it's referring to Negaim V'Alois. Masechet Negaim, Masechet Alois, are very difficult Mishnayis. Shikarim Haim, Ba'alam Hazeh, they're difficult to understand in this world. V'Kfuyin La'alam Haba, they will be so much easier to understand in the next world. Rabbi Shuba, Levi Yama Elvenei Odom, Shikarim Haim, Ba'alam Hazeh, wealthy people who are considered special in this world, they won't be so significant when Mashiach comes. He was very weak and he fainted. And then he was revived. When he revived, his father asked him, what did you see in the next world? I saw an upside down world. People who are considered more important in this world are less in the next world. So he told him, Bani, you didn't see an upside down world. That's the world, it's the way it's supposed to be. And then Rabbi Shuv ben Levi asked him, Vanan Hechi Hasam, what is our status in that world? So he says, Kehecha de Isa Anan. He says, Hacha, just like you're considered significant in this world, Hachi Yasinu Hasam, that is the way you are considered in the next world. So I saw that the Gemara explains that Oilam Hafach Risi. So the question that I saw that Rav Yecheskel Abramsky explains in his Sefer, Chazon Yecheskel, says, who are the Yelyonim de Lamala and the Oilam Tachton Lamata? He says, in this world, people are judged and people are viewed based on their accomplishments. They're not viewed based on their effort. They're not viewed on based on did they reach the potential. So he says, in this world, who gets the covet? The people who we think are great Talmid Chachamim. But it really is not looked at that way. What really we see is that the people who work hard to learn and do the right thing, they will be recognized for what they have done. Another pshat that I saw, is in this world, the people who get covered are the wealthy people, people who we think really help us. But really, who are the people that deserve the credit? The tzaddikim. As we quoted the pasuk says, the tzaddik yisoid olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. The tzaddikim hold up the world. And in the next world, he was telling him, we see haris tzaddikim are the ones that keep the world going. And I saw that the Ben Ishchai, Ben Yoyoda, explains that there are people in this world who are wealthy, they gave tzedakah, and it's so we look at this, at the relationship between the wealthy people and the poor people, that the wealthy people are supporting the poor people. But really, it's the poor people who are giving the wealthy people the opportunity to give tzedakah, to do mitzvahs. That's why when somebody gives tzedakah, we say tiskul mitzvahs, that he should be zoiche to be able to do mitzvahs. So that's what he says, pshat. We saw an oilam borer. Now we see that the people who help us be able to do mitzvah, that those are the people who deserve the most credit. V'shemati, and I heard further, shoyoyim remish asher mish balakan. Great is the person that comes to this world with Talmudei biyadai, and he learned. So Rabbeinu Chananel, the many pshatim in this Gemara of a Talmudei biyadai. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that he knew Mishnayos Bapeh. So wherever he goes, Talmudei biyadai, he always could learn. Another pshat, Isn't that learning alone without actually fulfilling what you learned is not a very meaningful learning. Not only did he learn, but what he learned, he fulfilled. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gra explains that he learned the Talmud beYadoi, that he learned whatever he learned, he learned so well that he was able to repeat it bal peh. The Mashal says a very interesting pshat. The Talmud beYadoi is that he wrote everything that he learned. That there's a special obligation that if somebody is mechadish chedushi Torah, the Talmud beYadoi that he wrote what he learned. The Ben Yayodai explains as follows. He says, we know that Eitz Chaim Hilel Machzikim Bo, that there's a special mitzvah to support the Loim Dei Torah. So we have, when we learn Torah, two groups. We have the people who actually learn. We have the people who support those that learn. So he says that the Talmud HaBiyodai would be much better that you should be the learner, the people who learn, not just the people who support those that learn. The Sefer Chaim explains the Talmud HaBiyodai is that he has Maisim Toivim. It's not just enough to learn, one has to do Maisim Toivim as well. I saw from the Balatanya in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Talmud Torah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, he says that every Jew is mechuyev to fulfill all Tariq mitzvahs. But we can't fulfill all Tariq mitzvahs, especially in a world that we live where all the kabbonis don't exist. So he says that if you don't learn, if you don't have the ability to fulfill all Tariq mitzvahs, at least learn all Tariq mitzvahs. And that's what Talmud HaBiyodai, that he learned all of the Torah, and that's how he became connected to all Tariag mitzvahs. The Mechaim says, Yodai means Rishusai. And what he explains is that what the Gemara is teaching us is that not only is person supposed to serve Hashem with Ruchnius, but B'Yodai, Yodai represents the Gashmius. The Talmud HaBiyodai, he comes to the next world with that as part of what he did in this world. V'Shemati, he continued saying, Shaya Oimrim, that they said, Elu Haruge Malchus, the people who were killed on Kiddush Hashem, Ein Adam Yochalam B'Mechitzosan. No one could stand in their place in the Shemayim. Maninu, says the Gemara, who are these great individuals? Elaim Rabbi Kiva V'Chaveirov, if you're going to suggest the means of Rabbi Kiva and his colleagues, ask the Gemara, Meshem Haruge Malchus Suloi, was that the greatness of Rabbi Kiva? He was such a tzaddik, he was a Talmud Chacham. Ella Haruge Lud. There were two individuals who lived in Lud, Lulinus and Pappus, that the daughter of the king was found murdered, and nobody knew who killed her, and there was a gzera made that whoever, that they're going to destroy, that they're going to kill all the Jews, and these two brothers were willing to sacrifice their lives, even though they were truly innocent, they were willing to sacrifice their lives for Klal Yisrael. And that's why they were zoicha to such an exalted place in the Olam Haba. So here we learned Talmud HaBiyodai, just to repeat, the very important point that the Mashal makes, where a person should write everything he learns. I saw, why is this so important, that somebody should commit his Divrei Torah to writing? One reason is, it helps you remember what you learned. And another pshat that I saw is that it says in Pirkei Avos, "Uknei lecha chaver," buy yourself a friend. But others explain "knei" means the pen. "Uknei lecha," who should be your best friend? The pen you should always write the Chiddushei Torah. The Sefer Chassidim writes in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed, "Komi shegilu haKadosh Baruch Hu davar chiddush." If somebody HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped, that he was able to have to learn a chiddush, and he had the ability to write that chiddush, and he didn't write it, it's as if kaviyachol, he's stealing from Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kiven, says the Chassidim, Kivin shloim gilay Kadosh Baruch Hu chiddush zeh. The only reason Kadosh Baruch Hu revealed to him this chiddush is kdei sheyaleu al ksav, that he should commit it to writing, v'yilmadu l'acherim, and teach it to others. And if he doesn't, he says it's as if he stole from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Chida writes that every chiddush that somebody was mechadish, that he doesn't ultimately write, he's going to give din v'cheshbin when he leaves this world. So our Gemara discusses that one, that the Heruge Malchus are allowed to give up their, were Lulinus and Pippus who gave up their life. So the question here is, to what degree is somebody supposed to be Mois and Nefesh? The Michas Yitzchak, in a Tshuva Chelik Hei, Simon Hei, discusses if a person is allowed to put himself into danger to donate an organ to someone else who is mortally in danger, but he's putting himself into danger by donating this organ. So the Michas Yitzchak says that if by giving that, by donating that organ, you are certainly going to be in Sakana, then you may not give it away. Even if the person you're giving to is a Talmid Chacham, you have no right to put yourself into that level of danger. So the question here is, so how did Lulinus and Pippus give up their lives? We're not obligated to give up our lives. We shouldn't give up our lives. So the Yeshua Yaakov says that even though the halacha does not require one to give up his life, but if he wants to give up his life for a tzibur, then he's allowed to. Lulinus and Pippus realized that if they're not going to give up their lives, the whole tzibur is going to be in danger, as we mentioned. Therefore, they were allowed to do what they did. The difference between a tzibur and a yochid is a very complicated issue. Because let's say somebody is driving and he loses, chas v'sholem, control of his vehicle. And he knows that he's going to go into people in walking. Is it better? And there's two groups. And there's more people and less people where he could maneuver the car, but he's going to hurt someone. Should he preferably maneuver the car to where there are less people versus to where there are more people? Says the Gemara, continuing discussing the Pesukim and Zechariah, the Pesuk says, "Bayomer hu yeh mitzilas asus kodesh hu Hashem." Ask them, "My mitzilas asus, what is meant with mitzilas asus?" Says the Gemara, "Amr v'shur melevi osa kodesh baruch lohisu Yerushalayim. HaKodesh Baruch Hu is going to expand Yerushalayim at shetzus roitz matzel, the mount that a horse can ride till the middle of the day, till as long, and the shade of the animal is below him." So that Yerushalayim, says the Gemara, is going to be expanded. Rav Elazar Omer, Komet Silas, Shetan al Sus Be'enav, that all of the bells that they used to hang on the eyes of a horse, Yul Kodesh Lashem, they will ultimately give to HaKodesh Baruch Hu. So why will Yerushalayim be expanded? So explains the Mashah, because we know, as we've learned many times in this Masechta, Kachm Kalim, Maisi Sheni, may only be eaten in Yerushalayim, and therefore Yerushalayim will be expanded to give us more space. So the Mashah asks, that we know, it's the Chasam Sofer asks, we know it says in Pirkei Avos, Perikei Mishnah Hei, that Me'olam, Le'omah Adam Yerushalayim, Tzali Amokim. No one ever complained in Yerushalayim that they didn't have enough room. So why is there a need to expand Yerushalayim? So he explains that indeed there's going to be enough room in Yerushalayim. There's always enough room in Yerushalayim. But they want the world to appreciate the glory of Yerushalayim. So that's why Yerushalayim will be expanded. So what's pshat in the Gemara that they're going to donate the ornamentations of the animals to Beis HaMikdash? So he says that in this world, people, the Ben Yoyod explains, are busy with Gashmias, and they want to show off their nice horse, their nice car. Mitzvah Shem, when Mashiach comes, people will only be interested in their cars to be able to get to one place to another place. There won't be any need to show off. The only thing that will be important in that world will be Torah mitzvahs. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kabiza Shabazin Yisrael, Acha Shus Rotza Matzo, that all the mount that the Klaiso will take from the Goyim in that time, Yukosh Lashem, they will donate to the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Mar, Bishlam Amar Kabiza Shabazin Yisrael, that's what the Pasuk is speaking about. They're all going to be given to the Mizbeach and to the Beis Hashem. The other two Manda Amrim, Mai, how do I explain the continuation of the Pesukim in Zechariah that said, V'hoya Asir Beis Hashem? Says the Gemara, the Pasuk means to say something else. Milsach Riti Kamar, the Me'atri Yisroel, Baruch Hashem Klaiso will get very wealthy, and they'll be able to give significant donations. Says the Marbishlam Mandama Bizop, according to Mandama, that whatever they capture, they're going to give. They won't need to take anything from anyone else to the Beis Hashem. There's going to be an incredible amount of donation. El Mandama Hanach Tarti, the other two Pshatim, my Veloyi Kanani, how do we explain the pasuk of Lo Yekanani? Answers the Gemara Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah. Then what pasuk means to say is Ein Kan Oni. There's going to be a world where there won't be poor people. People Baruch Hashem won't be poor. And the way I sort of say for Oyel Yaakov explains, that's the connection. In this world, not everyone is able to donate to the Beis Hashem. In that world, where Baruch Hashem, there will be much wealth. Everybody will have the ability to donate to the Beis Hashem. Ask the Gemara that according to the explanation that Kanani means business people, Nolan Dikri Tiger, how do we know that Kanani means business people? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says, V'yasham Yehuda bas ish Kanani, u'shma shua, v'kecha v'yove eleha. My Kanani. So what's the question? What's Kanani? Elaim Kanani mamish, that he came from Canaan. Ask the Gemara. Efsha, Bo Avram, v'hizaz Yitzchak. Avram Avinu told Yitzchak, I don't want you to marry b'bnois HaKanani. Bo Yitzchak v'hizaz Yaakov, lo tikach isha b'bnois Kanan. V'Yehuda v'ozvo nasuf, so Yehuda will not marry a woman from Canaan. Says the Gemara, Olam Rishim and Lokish, bas gavra tagra, what it means is that he was a businessman. The Ksiv, Canaan b'yodoi ma'oznoi mirma. V'bois ema mehocha, how do we know that Kanani means a business people, that says in the Pasuk, Asha Sechrea, Pasuk in Yishia, Asha Sechrea, Kananea, Nichbedei Eretz. Kanani, the people who do business, are they considered the important people. The Pasuk says, furthermore, in the Pasuk in Zechariah, V'hoi Hashem L'melech, Akola Oretz, B'ayomahu Yeh Hashem Echad, Shmoy Echad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Echad. Ask the Gemara, Oto Idna Lav Echad Hu, only in that world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Echad, and in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Echad, says the Gemara, Amr of Acha B'chnina, Loi Ka'olam Haba, Ha'olam Hazeh. Ha'olam Haba doesn't look like Ha'olam Hazeh. But Ha'olam Hazeh, in this world, Absurus Toivus Amr Baruch HaToiv HaMeitiv, when somebody, Baruch Hashem, receives good news, he says, HaToiv HaMeitiv, Absurus Ra'as, on a bad news, unfortunately, he says, Baruch Dynamis. Lo'olam haba, in that world, it will be kuloi. The only thing we're going to say is toiva meitiv. So Ben Yoyada explains what is the double lotion, hatoiv v'meitiv, and what is besuras toivus. So he explains, sometimes somebody was saved from being in a bad place. And sometimes you even make profit. So what we're saying is that absurus toivus, both types of absurus toivus, if you were saved from a bad situation or you were Baruch Hashem profitable, on both of them, you have to make a toivah meitiv. So we said the Lailam Haba, we're going to make only a toivah meitiv. What's the difference between Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba? So the Tzlach explains. In Olam Hazeh, there are things that happen to people that look bad, but they're not really bad. They just look like they're bad. Olam Haba, we're going to realize hatoiva meitiv, that everything that happened to us is just toiva meitiv, just as good. And the pasuk continues, Ushmay echad. Ask the Gemara, my echad, ato edna lav shmay echad hu. In this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not echad. Answers the Gemara, Amram Nachman, Yitzchuk loy kolam azeh, oylam abo. Oylam azeh, in this world, nichtav, the way Hashem Hashem's written is Yud Kei Vav Kei, the Nikra, but it's pronounced Ba'alef Talad with Adnus. Avul Oilam Haba, in the next word, Kulei Echad. Nikra B'Yud Kei, the Nichta B'Yud Kei. It's written Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we will know the pronunciation. Sava Rava L'Midrash B'Pirka. Rava wanted to explain the Shem Hashem at a drasha. Amalei Husaba, many times throughout Shas, it means Al Yoha Navi. The Pasuk, when it speaks about the Shem Hashem, says La'olam. The Vav is missing. La'olam means to be hidden, that the Shem Hashem should not be taught amounts. Ravina Rami, Ksiv Zeshmi La'olam, without the Vav it should be hidden. And then on the other hand, the Pasuk says, V'zeh Zichri La'dor V'dor. Not the way that my name is written, is it the way that it is pronounced. It's written by Yudke Vovke. However, the Nikra, the way it's pronounced by Aleph Dalad. So I saw that the Kedusha Tzion says, the post we say in Halal, Menametzar Karasi Ka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, his name is not with the whole shleimus, so we only say yud kei vav kei. Aneinu bar mitzvah Hashem when Mashiach comes from Heir b'yameinu. Aneinu b'merchav ka. We will have the complete understanding of the Shem Hashem, and that's what the Mashal explains as well. In this world, we have a combination of the midas hadin and the midas harachmim. But in mitzvah Hashem from Heir b'yameinu, when Mashiach comes, it will be completely just, we will see that it's all rachman. So here we know, the halacha that we all obviously need to know, that the halacha is that every time the pasuk, the word yudke vavke is written, it's supposed to be pronounced adnos. The question is, how are we to look at that? Are we to look at that as a kriya and ksif? That means just like when the pasuk is spelled one way, but it's pronounced another way. When the Baal Kaira is reading from the Chumash, he's supposed to be looking at that word in the Chumash, because that's the pronunciation of that word. How is the halacha by Kriyas HaTorah? Do we say the same, that the Yudke Vovke is the way to pronounce Yudke Vovke is with the Adnus, and therefore you have to look at the Pasuk? That's what the Brisker Rav says. He says it in Parshas Vaschanan, that the way to understand the Gemara here is that when you read the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, you should pronounce it as that's its pronunciation. And that's the way the Shaar Ephraim paskens as well. However, even though it's pronounced that way, and the way we're learning now, not only is that its pronunciation, but that's, you're supposed to look at the word in the Chumash and pronounce it that way. Yet still the halacha is that one should have both kavanas in mind. Yudke Vavke represents the shame of Rachmim, represents the shame of Hashem that he has Rachmanas on us. And Adnus means that he runs the world. And when a person reads from the Chumash, reads that word, even under all circumstances, he should have both of those kavanas in mind. Begins Hadron Loch Elo Ivrim, Hadron Loch Elo Ivrim, Hadron Loch Elo Ivrim. Says the Mishnah, Malkum Shinog Lasim Loch Bari Psochem Achatzois, Oisim, places where there's a minig that you do Meloch on Ere Pesach until Chatzois, you should follow that minig. Malkum Shinog Shaloi Lasis, and where the minig is not to do Meloch after Chatzois, Ein Oisim. You shouldn't do melacha. So it seems that everybody agrees that one may not do melacha on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The discussion here is that there were different menhagim about before Chatzos. So Yishalmi explains that the reason melacha is not done Erev Pesach after Chatzos Because Erev Pesach is the day that everybody brought a carbon. Everybody had to participate in the bringing of a carbon Pesach. And the day that you bring a carbon Pesach, the day you bring a carbon is you're not allowed to do melacha. And it seems from the Yerushalmi that it's Nisa Deraisa. Tosfos questions that if it's a Deraisa, then we shouldn't be allowed to do melacha the entire day. So Tosfos therefore suggests that it's only Midrabanan. Others say that even if it's a Deraisa, but since by Karban Pesach, the halacha is you cannot bring the carbon before Chatzos, as we're going to learn. So therefore, the zman of the carbon only begins after Chatzos, and that's why the zman of not doing melacha begins. But Rashi has a different interpretation. Rashi says that Erev Pesach is a very busy time, and since Erev Pesach is so busy, that's why after Chatzos, we're supposed to be busy with getting ready for Yontif and not doing melacha. So the Magen Mishnah and others ask, so if that's the case, because it's Erev Yontif, it's so busy getting ready for Yontif, so why is this limited to Erev Pesach? It should be every Yontif. So Tosfos Yontif explains that Sukkos, we start building the Sukkah earlier. We know the halacha is once you start building the Sukkah, the halacha says a Matzah Yom Kippur. And therefore, since we bake the Sukkah earlier, Erev Sukkos is not as busy as Erev Pesach. Another pshat that the Bnei Yeshua says, there's a difference between what we do on Erev Pesach and what we do on Erev Sukkos. On Erev Sukkos, yes, we have to prepare for the Yontif. But the preparations we need to do for Yontif are not halachic mandated. These halachic, what we do on Erev Pesach is what the halacha requires us to do. Bir chametz, bittel chametz, and therefore it's much different. So, says the Chak Yaakov, so if that's the case, that Erev Pesach, we're busy with all of these halachas, so when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, even though Erev Pesach is the day, as we learned in our previous year, when we do Bir chametz, the halacha is that these halachas would not apply on Friday. There are others that disagree, and certainly if the reason is because of the Karban Pesach, because the Karban Pesach was brought on Shabbos, if Shabbos is Erev Pesach, then the halacha wouldn't apply on Friday. The Rama paskens that our minig is not to do melacha even before Chatzos, but the Rama says that the only thing that's relevant is melacha gemura. But something which is not melacha gemura is mutter before Chatzos. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Levush, disagree, and they say that halvai, we shouldn't do melacha after Chatzos, but before Chatzos, we can do melacha. Furthermore, the Tzlach says that the halacha that we're discussing here is only on Pesach Rishon. By Pesach Sheni, these halachas do not apply. But it seems clearly the Rama says that everybody agrees that after Chatzos, one may not do melacha. It's clear in the Mishnah. So what melacha may be done after Chatzos? So the way that it seems that the Mishnah Berurah paskens that whatever may be done on Chol HaMoed, anything that falls into the category of a davar ovid, anything that falls into a category that a person needs to have that income to make yontif, anything that falls into the category that I'm doing it l'kavod yontif, polishing my shoes, cutting my nails, all may be done, should be done preferably before Erev Pesach Chatzos, but if one couldn't wait, if one didn't get around to it by then, may do it Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Says the Mishnah, Ha'holach m'makom sh'oisin, if somebody goes, leaves a place where they do melacha on Erev Pesach till Chatzos, and he goes l'makom sh'oisin, to a place where they don't do melacha, oy m'makom sh'oisin, or he travels from a place where melacha is not done on Erev Pesach till Chatzos, he travels l'makom sh'oisin, to a place where melacha is done Erev Pesach till Chatzos, noisin lav chumr m'makom sh'yotz m'sham, we give him both chumras. He has to do the, he follow the chumras of the place that he left. if he left a place that doesn't do malacha, he has to continue following that malacha. Obviously, only if it's his intention to go back. If he comes to a place where they don't do malacha, even though he comes from a place where they do malacha, if this is where he is now, he should follow that minig. A person should not change the minig because of machloikus. The halacha is that fruit that grow in the Shemitah year, the halacha is that once that fruit is no longer available to the animals in the outdoors, you may not have it inside. Kiyotzba. So the same halacha applies that we're just learning about fouling menhagim. Hamayloch per shvius b'makom shekalu. If you're bringing fruit from a place where there's no more, these fruits are no longer available outside for the animals, and therefore there's a chiv of beer, there's a chiv to destroy these animals, and you bring them to makom shloi kalu, to a place where those fruits are still available outdoors, or vice versa. You're coming from a place with makom loy kalu, where there's fruit still available, and they therefore weren't obligated to be burnt, and you're coming to a place, lamakom shekalu, where those fruits are not available. Again, the halacha is chayiv levar, that you have to destroy them. That means, as the Meiri explains, the chiv bir midaraisa is only if the fruit is both not available where it grew and to where you're bringing it. But what the Mishnah is saying is because of the chumras of minig hamakom, you have to burn it in both cases. Yudaima tseva hevelachata. If you're bringing pears from a place to a place where it's not, where there's still pears available, you don't have to burn it. If you're bringing pears from a place where the pears are still available, even though you aren't currently in a place where they're not available, you're not obligated to burn them, because we could tell them, you bring pears from there, we could tell the other people, you also bring pears, there's no reason that I have to burn my pear. Ask the Gemara, my Yerivar Psochim, what is our Tana focus on Erev Pesach? I feel by Erev Shabbos, so Erev Yom Tov Nami. This halacha that you can't do malacha Erev Shabbos on after Chatzos is Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom Tov as well. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us as Oysa malacha by Erev Shabbos and Yom Tov min a mincha l'mala. If somebody does malacha at that point, ain't a roi simen bracha l'olam. So Rashi explains. Rashi understands that the Gemara is on the Mishnah that says that you're not allowed to do malacha after Chatzos, so that is not limited only to Erev Pesach. It applies to every Erev Shabbos and every Erev Yontif. So Rashi says that Ha'oisa malacha b'Erev Shabbos v'yam tovim min mincha l'mala. So Rashi says it refers to mincha k'tana, which is 9.5 hours in the day. It's a difficult Rashi, because according to Rashi, Pesach, we're not allowed to do malacha only from Chatzos. And here it's from 9.5 hours in a day. That's why many other Rishonim disagree. And they say what the Gemara means here is mincha ketana. As far as the halacha is concerned, the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Resh Nun Aleph, Sif Aleph, brings two opinions. From when may you not do malacha on Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif? Mincha gedoyla or mincha ketana? The Magen Avraham paskins that it means from mincha ketana, which is a half an hour after the chatzos. But the Shaar Tzion says that that's only if you have your own business. If somebody has his own business, he should stop working from a half an hour after chatzos. But somebody who's working for somebody else, then he and his work hours are obviously later than a half an hour after chatzos, he may continue. Working. Why were Chazal machmer that you shouldn't work on Erev Shabbos from that time? One is because of Kavod Shabbos, the Rabbeinu Tam explains, that you moisif michal al kodesh. Another pshat that the Kolboy says is that we're concerned that you may get involved in your work, and if you get involved in your work, you may forget to stop working and chas v'shalom be michal Shabbos. What's en roi sim and bracha me'olam? That you won't have any profit, you won't see any bracha from this work. And the Mishnah Berurah says that even if you see profit, here you may take a loss somewhere else. So again, the question is, why is Erev Pesach being singled out? Answers the Gemara, Hosam min ha-milchamalo. There it's later in the day. Particularly, we follow Rashi's pshat, it's 9.5 hours in the day. Hudasar. Samach mincha, but early in the day, not. Hacha, you have to start from chatzos. And according to the opinion that holds a half an hour after chatzos, there's also a difference. Inami, hasam simen brachu deloy chazi. Somebody does melacha at that time, doesn't see simen bracha. We wouldn't put him into chayrim for doing work at that time. Here, working on Erev Pesach after Chatzos is so much more serious that Shmuti Namti Mishatim Nalei, we put him into chayrim. And the reason is, especially if we follow the opinion of Tosfos that quoted the Yerushalmi, that it's a day that's a yontif, that's why it's much more of a seriousness than just an Erev Shabbos or Erev Yontif, which is a The Ramad does say that melacha al rai, something which is not a full, a permanent job, that you're allowed to do on Erev Shabbos after the Mincha Ketana. And therefore, certainly the Tzarech Shabbos, the Bi'ar Halacha says you're allowed to do something. And others say that melacha means melacha, actual work. But if you're just doing commerce, business, that's not included. Gufa. Says the Gemara, "Oysa melacha b'arav Shabbos b'arav Yontif and a mincha l'malo, and b'matzah Shabbos b'matzah Yontif b'matzah Yom Kippurim, the kamakim sheish by nidna naveira, any place where you shouldn't do melacha l'suyi tanis tzibur and roisa melacha." So we're not allowed to do melacha matzah Shabbos. The Brisker Rav explains that this is not connected to the halacha of Tosfos Shabbos. Tosfos Shabbos may even be a deraisa. What we're speaking here about is that Matzah Shabbos, it's certainly Matzah Shabbos. There's no point of Tosfos Shabbos, but doing Melacha on Matzah Shabbos before you'd set Havdalah is Asur. The Yerushalmi, in fact, says, Tosfos Devarei Maskil quotes the Yerushalmi, that if somebody thinks he shouldn't do Melacha at all on Matzah Shabbos, there's no point to that Minig, but you should not do Melacha until you davened Matzah Shabbos and said Havdalah. The Yeshua Yaakov says, however, that if you live in a community where they daven Ma'ariv very late, you can make Havdalah and do Melacha. You're not obligated to wait that long. Furthermore, the Ritva says that even though we're saying we're being so strict about not doing Melacha on Matzah Shabbos, Melacha Kala, the Ritva says, they lived in a world, let's say you don't have a light on and you want to be able to put on a light, that is permitted to be done as long as you said, Baruch HaMavdu Ben Kodesh L'chol. Then the Gemara said, Matzah Yom Kippurim. So what is the Gemara trying to add by saying Matzah Yom Kippurim? So some explain that Matzah Yom Kippur is considered a yontif. And since it's considered a yontif, we shouldn't do Melacha on Matzah Yom Kippur. Another pshat, that Matzah Yom Kippur, there's some shuls that are finished right by the Zman. Another shul that take longer. So even though when it comes to eating, you're allowed to eat, a person who's fasting should certainly be allowed to eat as soon as the time, the Zman comes. But if most shuls are still davening, it's inappropriate that you should do Melacha at that time. Tanaban Yesh Zoris, that people who are quick to work for Nisker. He gets a mitzvah doing that. Yesh Zoris, but that some people who do Melacha, for Nifsan, he loses out. Yesh Shovel, there are people who don't do Melacha, for Nisker, but a profit from doing that. Yesh Shovel, and that some people that lose out by not doing Melacha. What Zoris for Nisker? Says the Gemara, the Ovid Kula Shapsa, a person that works all week. He follows what we're learning in our Gemara, that Erev Shabbos, from this man to stop working, he stops working. That's the person who sees Bracha. Shafal Venisker, who's a Zarez Venifsit, David Kula Shapsa, he works all week. And also Ovid Mal Shapsa, we saw, said Erev Shabbos after this man, you shouldn't work anymore. Shafal Veniska, the loved Kulishapsa. Somebody all week long he doesn't work. The loved Mamala Shapsa. And he doesn't work on Erev Shabbos either. So even though he didn't work all week. So he's a person that doesn't work. If you don't work Erev Shabbos, you're going to get bracha. Shafel v'nifsed, the le'avet kula shapsa, all week long he doesn't work. V'avdim mal shapsa, that's course wrong. Amar Rava, hani nashe de mechuza. The women who lived in mechuza, that never really worked. Avgav the haide le'avdin avidata b'mal shapsa. The reason they don't work on Erev Shabbos is m'shem nafkusehi, because they never work. We still give them credit. If you don't work on Erev Shabbos, the halacha is that you get the credit for that. Rav Ramiksiv, the one pasuk says, "Kigol at Shemayim Chazdecha." The Chesed Hashem goes up to Shemayim. Viksiv, but there's another pasuk says, "Kigol ma'al Shemayim Chazdecha." So how Kate said, how do we reconcile these two pasukim? Says the Gemara, "Kam ba'oshin l'shma." People who do mitzvahs l'shma, they get their schar is mi'al Shemayim. The people who oisin shloy l'shma, they're only at Shemayim. Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, la'olam yasek adam b'tayra mitzvahs, abi shloy l'shma. A person should do tayra mitzvahs, even shloy l'shma, shem tayra l'shloy l'shma, boy l'shma. Who is, so the pasuk pshat in the Gemara is, who is a person that a Kadosh Baruch Hu should do nisim, shloy k'derech ha-teva, is somebody who it learns tayra l'shma. Even though the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that for Yud Zayin Amud Aleph that somebody who learns Torah Shloi Lishma Noich Lo Shloi Nivra, it would have been better that he shouldn't have been born. So Tosfos Rashi Tosfos explain that there's a difference. If a person learns Torah Shloi Lishma but he doesn't have any bad intention, he does it for covet, he does it for other purposes, that is considered. That's what our Gemara says. Shematoich l'shloi l'shma ba'al l'shma. But somebody who learns Torah l'kantor, somebody learns Torah for kavod, that is inappropriate. Such a person should not learn. What's pshat that somebody learns Torah l'shma? The schar is mi'al l'shmayim. So I saw that he's zoicha to special siyata d'shmaya. Somebody who learns Torah l'shma is zoicha to shmat. Another pshat that I saw, shmatoich l'shloi l'shma, ba l'shma, that even if somebody's learning Torah l'shloi l'shma, it's inevitable that there's going to be an element of l'shma sometimes in his learning. And sometimes, since there's going to be an element of l'shma in his learning, that's why he's always going to have the concept of l'shma. Another pshat that I saw is that even if a person who's growing, he's constantly learning, he's Baruch Hashem, he's constantly growing. And today's lishma is tomorrow's, today's lishma was yesterday, as he grows, it'll turn out that even the Torah that he learned lishma won't really be the same as he learned further. There's an interesting discussion by Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, if this halach of Shloi L'shma is only by Torah, or is it by mitzvahs as well? Tana Rabbanan, Mitzap L'schar Ishtai. Somebody who's relying on his wife to support him, V'kein, V'rechayim, somebody who's in the mill business, and Enroyos Sam Bracha. Schar Ishtai, what does that mean? Meskalta. That his wife goes around carrying a scale and to rent to people who need a scale. The profit is very minimal, and therefore, it's and Roy Summon Bracha. Another pshat is that it revolves a woman carrying, which is not so tzniistic. Rechaya Lagarta. What does Rechaya mean? That somebody who rents out the mill, again, it's not a very profitable business. Of the Mestapna, that a woman, a wife who's a businesswoman, and is successful, Mestapach Mestapach Bakra, the sudden. The ksiv, as we say in Eishes Chayil, sodden osu v'timko v'chagor nasno l'knani. Taramban ha-mistake b'kanim, somebody who makes a living from selling small pieces of wood, or b'kankanim, big earthenware barrels, en roi yusam b'rochel oylem. My tama, kimin de nofesh ha-chuvzayu, since this is take up a lot of room, so everybody sees what business you're in, shaltabena, there's issue of an ayin horo. Taramban ha-tagri simta, people who sit in the marketplace, to sell wares. Magadli behemah daka, somebody who raised behemah daka, v'kotzei linus toivus, even elonis rak, v'nois naneim b'chilek yofa, somebody who, whenever they're dividing something up, always wants the best piece, and roisim and brachal olam. My tama, the taba inchi, somebody that causes everybody to look at him, again, is exposing himself to ayin hara. Tanabana, abar prutus, there are four prutus. Whenever Chazal want to talk about money, they speak about a pruta. Ein behen simen brachal olam. Scha kaisvin, people who soifrim, who write tefillin mezuzos. Scha metugamen, we have throughout Shasta, there was a metugamen who used to announce the drasha. Scha yisoymim, somebody who takes the money of yisoymim to do business with that money. Umas abayas medayin sayam, somebody who sends wares overseas. When did they do their work? On Shabbos. And somebody who sees bracha from Schar Shabbos, even who sees panos from Schar Shabbos, even though it's not really also, it's done in a permitted manner, we could understand. Because sometimes if you didn't treat them properly, if you steal from a yosim, it's very serious. They used to send their boats by sea, and sometimes the boat, chas v'sholem, could drown. What's the point of the cipher, my tama? Answers the Gemara, Amr Mishu ben Levi, Esra Abatinus Yoshua Anshe Knetz Gedolim, that the Anshe Knetz Gedolim sat 24 Tanesim, a koisvei cipherim tefillim mezuzah shloyus ashru, that they shouldn't be it shouldn't be a very profitable business. Shilum Malay Misashrim and Kaisvim. If they got wealthy, they would stop working. And if they would stop working, we wouldn't have anybody to write Sefer Tefillin and Mezuzos that we so desperately need. Tana Bonim, Kaisvim, Sfarim Tefillin and Mezuzos, Heim V'Tagreim, the people who are their salespeople, the Tagri Tagreim, sales, Mil Tagreim is like the distributors. When Tagri Tagdeim are the retailers, people who sell Tchelis, ain't roisim and brachal oilim. However, if their intent is Lishma, then no matter what business you are, Takarash Baruch will bring Royin, will bring us a Simon Bracha.